Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are in a real dog fight. They're attacking from all angles. They're attacking my TIs. They're attacking anybody who will not fight back. I tell you, we have a fight with the NAACP, the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People. They no longer fight for civil rights. Matter of fact, they've been exposed as a group that has sold out to the corporations. Matter of fact, the NAACP are bought and paid for like products on a store shelf. The NAACP is misrepresenting the black community. We, the people, must stop the NAACP from exploiting its members, because what they're doing, they're lying to their members. We have another individual former president who have joined our lawsuit. We are filing a racketeering act lawsuit against the NAACP. They have exploited our ancestors. They have exploited everybody in the community. And yet we still give them a free pass. We can no longer give the NAACP a free pass. We must stand up and fight. Also, on June 1st, our boycott of all Whirlpool products, washer dryers, stove and refrigerators, KitchenAid, Maytag, all made by Whirlpool, and there's several others, we will not buy any products. This is going to be an international boycott. I got folks in London, Japan, Denmark. They all are going to push this thing to make sure we do not, or they do not, or anybody do not buy any Whirlpool products. Also, Tuesday, June 4th, we will have a major protest in Benton Harbor against the emergency financial manager, also known as a dictator. So we will be fighting on all levels. We will do everything within our power to neutralize this man, to make them understand how serious we are and what we're doing. But those of you who are out there, you must stand up and fight for something. Because if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And we're also trying to get everybody healthy. See, that's one of the things that I'm working on right now. You can't fight if you're not healthy. So we must continue to make ourselves as healthy as possible. And I want people to understand that we are here for the long haul. We're not here as a temporary fixture. We're serious about what we're doing. So listen, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King while we're talking.
Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennesawian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
You are listening to the Pinkney Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we are having a field day today. We are showing the world what we can do. And whatever you do, do not forget, on Saturday, we kicked off
Sunday.
The boycott of all Whirlpool products. KitchenAid, Maytag, anything that's made by Whirlpool, we are not buying any of their products. 2 years ago, we started a boycott. And we neutralized them completely. Matter of fact, they became junk stock. So that's how important it is for us to really do the things that need to be done. But we're here, and we're staying focused, and we're not sidetracked. So we're staying on top of all this and hoping everybody understands how important it is. I am waiting for Dr. Glidden to come on. Unfortunately, he has not came on at this time, and I'm going to bring on my good friend, Dr. Short. My good friend, Dr. Short. Dr. Short,
yes,
are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinkney.
Yes.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and raise some hell for the people in it. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm feeling much better, Reverend Pinkney.
You
know,
I'm glad to hear, because I know when I spoke to you yesterday, it was, I didn't think you was feeling your best, and I can understand why. Your good friend Malcolm, ex-grandson, was murdered, and I know that could take a whole lot out of you.
Yeah, and we can't confirm it, but the thing that hit me was that maybe they took a whole lot out of him.
Yes.
You know, the family wanted no autopsy, and those people south of the border gave an autopsy anyway. I'm not confirming anything, Reverend Pinkney, but you know, these days when folks go to hospitals, they do all kinds of things with people's body parts. They don't tell families. And I'm praying to God that they respected the Shabazz family. But you know how folks treat folks. And so to hear that the family didn't want an autopsy, and the autopsy was done anyway, just took all the guts out of me to imagine that that's maybe. I didn't say that he is. So if somebody goes out there and lies and says that I said something, I didn't.
Well, you know they're going to do that anyway, Doc.
They're going to do it.
I can almost tell you right here, for what I know, if you say something, they're going to throw it all out of content, and you will be criticized for what you say, but we're man enough to handle whatever they say. Whatever you got for me, bring it on.
I just want to say that, you know, I was at the memorial, and it was moving. I want to say that folk need to wake up, because there's just 200-300 people there. Place should have been full. No leading Negroes came, with the exception of the mayor of one of the mayors from one of the towns. Local towns came, but there was no Sharpton. There were no black elected officials from the city of New York. There was practically nobody that came for this family. I'm not saying that there weren't some people that came. I mean, there were some significant people, but no political folks. No big-time Negro, I like saying nigger preachers. They weren't there. And this is what happened when Malcolm X was assassinated February 21st, 1965. No church would bury Malcolm except for one small Church of God in Christ Church. That's where they did Malcolm's funeral.
Wow.
Now, do you know that these folks should have opened their doors and done whatever they needed to do to help the family? It just so happens that the First Corinthian Baptist Church on 112th Street, they did the funeral for Malcolm's family, didn't charge them one penny. I'm always going to love that church for this. It's a beautiful church, a wonderful service. They didn't ask 1 cent. Other folks were asking for tens of thousands of dollars. These churches with multi-million dollar budgets, they can't do a service for someone from a family like that. Can you imagine?
You shouldn't charge for a funeral service, no way.
Yeah, well, Gil Noble's family was charged $25,000 for his funeral, and that
wow.
was a price cut.
I know the mortician, he charged, but the church shouldn't be charging. Matter of fact, the church is supposed to be a service area. We're supposed to serve the people.
You serve it
when you're a man of God.
Well, these people served. This church did that. I was able to speak. I thank God I was blessed to do that. I was supposed to travel up with Mr. Peter Bailey. He was in the Audubon when Malcolm's grandfather, the great Malik al-Hashabazz, was killed. He was there waiting for Reverend Gamelson in the lobby. I wanted to go with him. It would have been historic and symbolic, but Mr. Bailey couldn't go. When I talked to Malak Shabazz, I agreed to read Mr. Bailey's statement, but we couldn't get in my cheap cricket phone. And she said, did you know Malcolm? I said, yes, I did. She says, well, why don't you speak? So I was one of the speakers. And I let folks know a couple of things that a lot of people were initially sad. And, you know, I don't understand black folks. Black folks all need to be slapped in the face. Everybody needs to slap themselves one time. When someone is deceased and the family is grieving, why would someone bring up his troubled youth when he was almost 30 at the funeral? I was a little mad at that. So when I got up there, I told folks, I don't know what they came to do. I came to thank the Shabazz family. I came to thank God for the Shabazz family. And said that they had been a river of hope, inspiration, and resistance to our people. And we can't thank them enough for Malcolm. And I just let them know that the joy that I had, the New York Post didn't give it to me, and the New York Times couldn't take it away.
That's right.
I was thankful to have met this family, even through one person. It meant so much to me. And I'm going to leave that there, but just... Look, I believe in the future we're going to have one of the members of the Shabazz family on this program because there will be a pushback. There has not been one card or letter from the President of the United States to the Shabazz family. If you ask me, that Negro should have licked and used Air Force One to go in and pick the body up, bring it back, and fly it across the country if they needed it. Not a card, not a letter, not a call. I often wonder if Malcolm had been gay, would he have gotten a call then? Had he been going looking for, then he would have gotten a call then. Ooh, this is an unfortunate, violent act against, you know. Nothing. Nobody has reached out to show this family that they cared. We're disgraceful people. When Lynn Stewart can sit in jail, when Assata Shakur can be public enemy number one, when we can let all Mamiya and all these people sit for decades and then someone in Malcolm X's family and people don't call or say we care, we're sick.
Yeah.
We're
well,
sick.
Well, you
we
know,
need,
we're
we
so selfish. You know, we only think about ourselves, Dr. Short. And that's wrong. That's wrong. I will tell you it's wrong. You know, that's why we're in such a compromising position today.
Bill Clinton would have called.
Oh, absolutely.
Hillary Clinton would have called. George Bush would have called. Papa Bush would have called. Ronald Reagan, he would have called. He would have said something stupid. I didn't like the grandfather, but I'm sorry. He would have said something.
Yeah.
Even Reagan, who the hell is this person in the White House that we worship like he's Jesus? Can't say a thing. And yet he wrote in that book that Malcolm X was his inspiration. Malcolm X was this. Malcolm X was that. I think, first of all, I don't know if he wrote the book, and if he did, he's a liar. Now on the other thing, Reverend Pinckney, you know, I'm working with the sister from the Million Women March, Empress Chinyesu Filé.
Yes.
And we're really disgusted by this person. You know, if HIV/AIDS were in human form, it would probably look like the person I'm talking about, Little Wayne. He looks like an AIDS virus. I mean, I almost want to put something on, a rubber coat or something when I see him. He's on a tour, and I've sent you the dates.
Yes.
We need to send a message, not so much to Lil Wayne, because he's so busy drinking the cough syrup and the soda, which is killing him. He probably wouldn't understand. His brain's probably more pickled than relish.
Mm.
But we need to get to Clear Channel. We need to get to these tour groups that we're tired of folks denigrating our women. We're tired of violence against women being celebrated. We're tired of the porn. We're tired of the filth. We're tired of it. And I believe folks should join us as Banco to the cities where Lil Wayne is for us to go and not only show our displeasure that he's there, but people should call the mayors, call the council people, say, we don't want this kind of filth in our community. And then we need to go after the radio stations and the chains that push Comtrash and the others who push this steady stream of filth and effluvia through the brains of our young people. If they heard something else, they might like something else. If you keep pushing something, folks get used to it, whether that's heroin, beer, or bad food. If you get used to it, you can tolerate it.
Mm.
We've got pushback. I mean, this Emmett Till thing that he put out, well, he's talking about beating up women's private parts like it's Emmett Till. The fact that Malcolm got beaten worse than Emmett Till, that thing upset me so bad. So I'm talking to some ministers. If you know some folks, we need to raise some hell because T.I. and some other ones, T.I., you know, he's the one who thinks that he needs to carry around drugs. It's not like American Express. You can leave your drugs at home and use it there. This idiot, he's got a group of these no-life people performing that are like the Pied Pipers of self-genocide for our young. And we need to tell them we don't want their trash, we don't want their crap. We need something else because our young people's minds need to be stimulated to understand that the battle is now. They're the ones that are going to inherit this cesspool called America if we don't clean it up.
Absolutely. Let me say this. Do you have the number for the Mexican embassy that people can call? Because I want people to start calling tomorrow. If you can come up with that number, that would be great.
I tell you what can I do to get your attention? Because I sent you the number.
I do have the number. I got the number myself.
You got the number? But
yes,
you want
me
to do it like in a second? Give me.
Why don't I come back to you? I want to see if Dr. Glidden on the line. If you're on the line, Dr. Glidden, press 1. If you're on the line, Dr. Glidden, press 1. He's our guest, but unfortunately, he's not on the line as of now. And we're still looking for Dr. Glidden. I guess he may have gotten tied up, but whatever. We will definitely continue with what we're doing here. So let's, I'll give
Hold
you a few minutes to look that up. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'll have it in a second.
All right.
I'll have it in 1 second. I know who
All
says
right.
it to
That's
me.
All right, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Dr. Glidden, if you're there, please press 1. Dr. Glidden, if you're there, please press 1. Okay. All right, you still there, Doctor?
Yes, I am. I'm looking to see if this is the one that I have that has that info on it. Otherwise, I'm going to jump to your page.
Why don't you do this?
Now,
I'll come back and get you in about 10 minutes.
Let me see. I think I have. No, I did several of these things. I'm going to go to your page where I put it. That's why I send it to you so you have it.
I do have it, but
now,
I want to. Yes.
Oh, hold on. I'll have it. I'll be right on your page in a second. I put it out. I put so much stuff up here. I have to look to see. But let me share this with you. Lil Wayne is worth over $110 million.
Putting
out all this garbage. Marvin Gaye, you name all these people, Sam Cooke, these people that really made stuff, they don't have anything compared to these folks that come up here and say all this garbage about women. garbage yeah. about our people. They make us look like animals, and they're the ones who make this incredible amount of money. It's almost ungodly. It is ungodly that people who say all this filth are the best paid people in the world, and the folks who are saying something, people who want to lift up people, they're not getting nothing. They didn't get the royalties when they did work. Here we go. Here's the number. It is on your page, by the way. I knew where I sent it. They need to call tomorrow the Mexican embassy. The number is 202-728-1600. And tell everybody to call 202-728-1600. And our next step should be we need to call on the State Department to have a travel advisory that it's not safe to go to Mexico until they find out what they did to our man. Nobody should go. And in particular, since nobody cares when you're of color, there should be even a special advisory. Maybe Obama go on there. You know I'm joking. And say we shouldn't go south of the border. And I'll go further. If we're not safe south of the border, we really need to think about why we would want tens of millions of people given amnesty to come to this country if they like killing folks for the hell of it over inflated bar bills. I think we need to hold on that for a minute until we find out what happened with our brother.
All right. Well, listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on.
People need to find out when Little Wayne is coming to their town, and they need to coordinate and be in touch with us because we don't just want Little Wayne to get a message. We want the people behind him destroying the integrity of our people to feel it. We want to go to their board of directors and buy stock and make them stop doing this to us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Short, I'm going to thank you, but I want you to hang on with us because I'm going to bring you back because we're going to talk a little bit more about Malcolm X's grandson. But right now, I got to bring on Dr. Ariel King. And I tell you, she is someone special. She's a professor, Dr. Ariel King. She is the founder and president of Ariel Consulting International, a company that created and enhanced public-private partnership and international health policy and management with focus and development on countries. She's also the founder of Ariel Foundation International. She has a PhD. She has an MPA, a MPH, MBA, PhD, DTM, NIH. She has all this. She is someone special. She's someone who we need to know, and she got something very, very exciting she wants to talk to us about. And I'd like to bring her on and talk to her. Dr. King, are you there?
Yes, good evening. Thank you so much for inviting me to your show this evening.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have someone of your status to come to our show. You got enough degrees to do anything you want to do. And also, it gives us the credibility that we're looking for.
Oh, thank you, including an M-O-M. I'm a mother.
Oh, okay, that's right. You're a mother. That's right. And look, and that's the highest degree you can have.
That's right. And the biggest blessing anyone could ever have is to be a parent or to be a mother or a father, I tell you. Truly
that's
blessed.
Right. Absolutely. But listen, I know that we're going to talk a little bit about is that your husband or your ex-husband?
Yes, I just wanted to say that Michael Herbert Pfeiffer is my husband. We're still married. We were married in 2000, and so we've been married for 13 years now.
Okay, absolutely. And he's a scientist, right?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, many people think that he is, and I also thought that he was a physician, a neurologist, and within the last several years after uncovering who I'm married to, because basically I really didn't know. I thought I knew who I was married to, and come to find out that he's actually a scientist that does mostly human drug research on people in the United States. He basically said that American people are stupid and easily manipulated, and is now a scientist who is passing as a physician at the Veterans Affairs Hospital in Washington, D.C.
So in other words, he's a scientist, but he's passing out medicine. He's actually practicing medicine here in the United States without a license.
Well, no, yes. I mean, what actually happened is he's not a physician. He did not go to medical school, or he did, but he had to leave. He did not finish medical school. And because the systems are very different between Germany and America, he was able to kind of get through the system. And unfortunately, I have to say, when I didn't understand that he was a physician, I mean, I thought that he was a physician, I thought I married a physician, I actually helped him get through that system, believing that he was a physician. But it came to our attention, it started to unravel when he finished at MedStar Georgetown University Hospital, a residency in neurology. And he had to get a medical license that was on his own. When you're a resident or a fellow, you have a license under another person, and usually what they call an academic program, so a residency. And when he applied for that medical license in Washington, D.C., they asked him for fingerprints, and they also asked him to have his medical school send his medical school transcripts to them for approval. And this is due diligence that's done in every state in the United States with each person that, you know, first gets their license on their own. After 18 months, he was not able to produce a transcript. And basically, during that time, he practiced medicine in the Department of Neurology at MedStar Georgetown University Hospital without a license for an entire year.
Wow, that's amazing when you sit down and think about it. I'm kind of shocked because I know that him as being a scientist, what is he doing? Now, and also he was using a scalpel. He's good at a scalpel and everything, right? That means he was doing some pretty heavy stuff.
Well, I know that only, you know, usually he didn't like me going to his work, so once I was able to go and I met him and his colleagues, and he was actually working on some videos showing some research.
Wow. Actually doing something, huh? Did I lose you? All right. Let me go to Mary. Mary, you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and what an interesting show. So was she saying that her husband was practicing medicine at a certain hospital without a license?
Yeah, in Washington, D.C. He was actually practicing medicine, and he was a scientist. What is a scientist doing inside these hospitals cutting on people?
Well, I talked with a lady on the Dr. Shirley radio show. Her husband has mental problems, and he was hired to be the physician in a prison in California. And he has serious mental problems, and he is now working in the mailroom and still getting the doctor's salary.
Interesting.
They transferred him to the mailroom at the prison, but he's still getting the doctor's salary, according to his wife. And so that story was kind of interesting. I don't have all the details, but he also didn't have a license, and he was a physician at the prison. So these licenses are something else. Then we have a lot of people who have violated their licenses. You know, I know, for instance, you talk about the NAACP having the tax exempt status, and they're violating that when they are actually working as an annex to the Democratic Party. That's a violation. So a lot of people are violating their oaths of office, they're violating their licenses, they're working without a license. Things are not being regulated as they should. I know that in Atlanta, we have the Jenny Cochran firm, but when I sued them, they went to court and said they weren't the Jenny Cochran firm, and they called themselves another law firm in order to answer our lawsuit, And the law firm that they called themselves, they say it was registered and wholly owned here in the state of Georgia, but there is no such entity registered in the state of Georgia. So they made up an alias, and it's not licensed in the state of Georgia. It doesn't exist, and that went through the courts. So what's happening is that we live in a place that is nicknamed Lawless America. And that's the simple fact of the matter. We have police officers who are beating people to death, who are shooting people to death on a regular basis. People are being murdered, and these are the police officers. I was reading about the case recently about Mr. Silva out in California, who was, there were three or four witnesses to the fact that testified that these police just approached this man who was lying on the ground because he was sick. He had been to the hospital and been rejected for treatment. And he was lying on the ground, and police just came up and beat him to death. Mm. A sick man lying on the ground.
He was an older guy too, wasn't he?
I'm sorry?
He was an older guy, wasn't he?
I think he was not. I think he was 33 years old.
Okay.
But he was, yeah. But they beat him to death. They actually killed him in front of witnesses. And one woman called 911 and said, you know, how do you tell the police other police? She said, your officers are out here beating this man to death, and I think he's dead. He's lying on the ground now. But they've been beating him, and they killed him. And that's what she reported to 911 about the police. And surprisingly or not surprisingly, the police out there were found to be righteous in that killing. You know, no matter what the police do, it seems that they're found righteous in that killing. You know that the police who killed Mr. Chamberlain, Kenneth Chamberlain, the 67-year-old black man in New York, they broke in his house. They went in there and tasered him and beat him and shot him to death. When his alarm went off, he had a life alert alarm. or it may not have been from the company Life Alert, but that gives you the idea. It was a medical alarm. It went off accidentally, and they insisted on getting in his house anyway, even though he told them it was an accident. And when they got in there, they called him nigger and what have you, and they killed him. You know, this is going on all over the country. I read about a young boy who was holding a puppy and playing with a puppy on the beach in Florida, and the police started beating him, and they said that he gave them an inappropriate look. It was, of course, a black boy. He looked at them, they said, inappropriately, and so they beat him and put him in a chokehold. He was a 14-year-old child playing with a puppy on the beach.
Wow.
So these things, yeah, these things are going on all over the country. Your friend, Reverend Floyd Harris, led an anti-police rally in Fresno, California on Friday, and they were protesting the recent murder of a citizen out there, and I think the two people have been killed recently in the Fresno, California area. And these were both, as I understand it, Latinos. So the black and brown people in America have a lot of problems as far as police brutality is concerned. And, you know, we have to address this matter. The police have a lot of responsibility, and they have in their hands, have the peace of this country, because how long will the populace allow these murders before reacting? So, you know, they have actually the peace of this country in their hands, and these police brutality incidents if they're not addressed by the police supervisors, if they're not addressed by the U.S. Justice Department, then, you know, eventually it could be a possibility of real civil unrest, not just rallies, not just marches. So at some point, something needs to be done on the administrative level to stop the cover-ups and the lies that happen that protect murderous police. Don't you think so?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And I think that, you know, if the people don't stand up and start doing things, this thing going to continue. You know, now we're living in a police state. They do whatever they want to do. Whatever they feel like doing, they do it. And if there is an uprising, they bring out the army, the tanks. They got all kind of equipment to stop any kind of uprising. That's why it's so difficult to challenge them. See, most of the time, they know exactly what they're doing. You know, they like for you to get excited so they can show you their force. They can show you their power. They can show you how they can beat down any uprising, because that's why they want to take all the guns away from the people.
I see. Well, things are pretty bad, and I read about these murders, and I follow them through and look a few months later to see what justice was applied. And in usual cases, nothing was done. It was all rule justified. It seems that no matter what happens, it's rule justified. I was on a radio show recently with the family of an honor student, a college student with 3.8 GPA. He was driving the street. I think he was in, I hesitate to say what state it was because I've forgotten, but he was driving down the street. He evidently, there was a gun in the car with him. And like a lot of black young men, he's got a felony in his background. So he didn't stop immediately because he had the gun in the car. But then he did stop the car, according to witnesses. He got out of the car. He submitted to the police. He had his hands in the air. And they shot him anyway. His name was Hall, or Gall, or something like that. And they shot him 25 times.
Wow.
And killed him, yes. So these things are happening throughout the nation, that there seems to be a certain amount of lawlessness among our law keepers. And so I'm just praying for them. I'm praying for the police officers who seem to be perhaps having PTSD episodes themselves or something to feel like they should be so violent. And it must be very difficult for honest and honest police officers to serve alongside those who abuse their power. And, you know, you've had several on your show who come forward and told you how difficult it was to serve in lawless police departments, haven't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're doing what we can do, and we have to understand that, you know, for years, you know, even before they start really measuring how bad police departments are, they've been bad for a long time, especially to black people. They have always beaten up on black folks and gotten away with it. They have always killed black folks and became justifiable homicide. So any time that you have a justifiable homicide, in their eyesight, it's not murder. It was justified. And that's what's happening today all across America. I tell you, even in Tennessee, the same stuff. It's in just about in every state that you find this stuff now. Like even in Chicago, where they had this one police officer who was torturing everybody to get a confession out of them. And he sent all these young men to prison for crimes that they never committed. So we definitely got our hands full. And we're going to continue. But listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. I got to move on.
Well, I just want to let everyone know what a blessing it is to have ministers like you who come out of your churches with four walls, and you get out here with us and you talk about police brutality. You actually have protests about it. You join the people in their economic struggles regarding wrongful foreclosures and seizing public property for private use and all the things. Benton Harbor, Michigan, being assigned an emergency city manager who seems to be something else. He seems to be more like a dictator. And these things are happening, and it's wonderful to have ministers to actually care about our living conditions and not just about our spiritual condition. Because I remember Jesus said, before we preach to the people, feed the people, you see. And so the thing is, we need to address the living conditions of people, and we need more ministers to come forward and help to protest police brutality, to help protest economic disenfranchisement of a people. We need our ministers. We really do. And if the ministers will not come out and actually support righteousness in their communities, then they should at least send you a donation. You are doing the work of God. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 5, that God, it says, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. So righteousness and justice are also very much a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I urge anyone who is in a church to please start raising a donation and send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O. Justice is God's business, and God is going to come back. Jesus is coming back to restore justice here on earth. In the meantime, it is up to his church, the body of Christ, to stand for justice. It's not for us to just hear about these horrible crimes that are being done to people and just shake our head and say, God bless you. God said we have to do something more practical than that. He said, before you feed the people spiritually, feed them physically. And so here we have Reverend Pinckney, who is actually doing the work of God. Please send him a donation. Reverend, could you give me your address?
Absolutely. You can send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Thank you so much, and I got to bring on my guest, Dr. King, back again. Dr. King, are you back?
Yes, I am. So sorry about that. The internet connection kept cutting off. I have no idea why.
I can understand, but Effie, let's get it to you. You got about 6 minutes to talk about your husband and some of the things he did. You go ahead and talk, say whatever you want, because we don't know when you're going to get cut off again. Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you so much. What I wanted to say is what I didn't say is my husband is actually a German citizen from Germany, and I'm still learning about his background, but his background is still not very clear to me. And the reason why I feel that this is important is because he's still, quote-unquote, practicing medicine in Washington, D.C., but mostly on veterans. And many of them, as you know, are African-American, African, Black, Hispanic minorities. In addition to that, unfortunately, my daughter, or our daughter, who is now 10 years old, Ariana Leilani King-Pfeiffer, is with him in Washington, D.C., living in a one-bedroom apartment, sleeping in a queen-size bed, in a bedroom with no windows, and has been ill with a very rare blood disease that can be caused by toxins or, once again, drugging. So Ariana Leilani is likely, with all the tests that we have so far and all the information that we have, is being also experimented upon. It seems that many people, especially those in a government and authority, seem to know what's going on. He lives right on in an area that's very close to Georgetown University, Georgetown University Hospital, not far from embassies, in a very prestigious area of Georgetown Palisades. Ariana Leilani goes to a public school there, Francis Scott Key School. People see her looking drugged. They know that she's peeing in her pants, staring into space. This was a child that, before the age of 5, was able to speak 3 languages, play the violin and piano, and right now she's in quote-unquote special education, has a very little short-term memory, is not able to read, and this is at 10 years old. So it looks like he's also experimenting on her. So why is this important? Not just for Ariane Leilani, who is a victim of what's happening to her, but if it's happening to her, then it has to be happening to other people. And what will it take before all of us stand up and say no more, enough? Before we say that we're not going to take this anymore. You can't bring somebody into our country who's not even a citizen to come and experiment on us. He's made it very clear that he has diplomatic immunity. So basically, he's able to get away with committing crimes, and he has. And I've watched him be able to get away with crimes, including drugging our daughter. Now, even with the experimentation on our daughter, the disease she has called severe chronic neutropenia, there's a medicine for it. And this medicine is readily available. Many people that get who have cancer and have chemotherapy get this medicine called Neupogen. And with this medicine, she won't have toxic shock, loss of her limbs, or loss of life. Yet she's being denied this medicine not only by her father, but by MedStar Georgetown University Hospital. And strangely enough, the president and CEO of MedStar Health, Mr. Kenneth Samet, I've actually written to him and told him about this. He knows about this situation, and yet they refuse to correct it by, one, giving her Neupogen, which is readily available and free to her, number two, giving her a urine test or even a toxicology, and number three, giving her an HIV test. So they seem to be doing some kind of modern-day Tuskegee experiment where they know she's ill, they know she can die from her illness, and they won't do anything to help her. And if a man can actually experiment on his own daughter, just imagine what he can do to those that aren't even in his blood.
Wow. You know, I think that's what he was doing at the VA, experimenting on people. Because basically, he had no business practicing medicine without the license. And he's a scientist. What is he doing in the VA hospital?
Well, actually, he's still there now, but what happened is Washington, D.C. was very smart. The Board of Medicine refused to give him a license, so he went into Virginia. I mean, I think I told you this before, but there does seem to be some intelligence connection. He has a lawyer, Sean William O'Connell, whose entire family is very much connected to the CIA as covert agents, his stepmother, his father, unfortunately, who passed away, and, of course, himself. And this lawyer helps him with all types of things. So he went into Virginia, applied for a license, said he already had one in D.C., so they didn't do any due diligence. They just gave it to him. And now he's practicing in Washington, D.C., Veterans Administration Hospital with a Virginia license. And this has been brought to the attention of all of the authorities, and they all seem to do a nod and a wink and turn their head and say nothing. But, you know, an American could never, ever get away with that. And, by the way, in Germany, my husband, or I should say Michael Herbert Pfeiffer, could never get away with this in Germany. In Germany right now, there are charges pending against him, specifically for bodily harm, because there, the prosecutor's office in Germany, because, you know, if you're German, you can be prosecuted in Germany, believe that he's actually experimenting on our daughter, that he's been drugging her, and also that he's been sexually abusing and using her. And so there are charges pending against him in Germany. But in America, especially in Washington, D.C., he seems to have a free pass. And he has no respect or regard for Americans. He said that we're stupid and easily manipulated.
Wow. And you know what? Sounds like he thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
Well, he thinks he's smarter, but also it looks like with his diplomatic immunity somehow, instead of being prosecuted, which he's told me, he would just be sent back to Germany. And since he comes from a very wealthy family in Germany, his father was a former CEO or president of E.ON.
Wow. Is that right? Okay, you still there? I guess we done lost it. Roz, are you there?
Yes.
How you doing today, Roz?
I am believing for a miracle for everybody from the Lord.
Hey, I'm believing and I'm standing on that myself. I can't believe some of the things that we're hearing. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the truth now, you know, because what Dr. King is saying is so incredible, that she has a husband who's a scientist practicing medicine on veterans and mostly the minorities.
I mean,
she got a lot to say, and she need all the help she can get. But it's amazing when you sit down and think about this stuff that's actually happened. You think this is a movie, the way things are going.
Right, and I bet he is not the only doctor because of my work.
No, absolutely not.
No,
and I don't think the government cares.
Well, watching the government at work, the government doesn't care about anybody except themselves.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It doesn't care about you, me, or anybody else. Whether you're black, white, pink, yellow, doesn't make a difference.
Right.
We have a government that need to be held accountable for their actions and their inactions. And you know, and the thing is, it's not going to happen unless we all come together and fight together. You see.
Right.
Also, you know, one of the things about Dr. King, which you know she was getting to, was about how these TIs see. See, a lot of times people don't understand that, you know, you go to the Veterans Administration and you would think that the Veterans Administration, you wouldn't have a thing to worry about. But you got everything to worry about. They're just as bad as going to a hospital, a private hospital. It's the same identical thing. So we have to tell them to either put up or shut up and do what we need to do. I tell you, it's just something. But listen, I did sign your petition. I did do that. And absolutely. I did do that, which is tremendous, and I sent it out to some people, and I'll finish sending it out tomorrow, get more people to sign. But let's talk about some of the things that you want us to do, especially with that judge. Let's deal with that judge first, then we'll deal with the doctor. Go right ahead.
Right. The judge should be removed, but I need to hear from other injured people in California and around the country because we have to come up with our own plan to be helped, not what the insurance companies or the unethical doctors or lawyers want us to have because they're making money, billions of dollars, off of our injuries. And we need to stand up and not be afraid, and we need to speak up. Now, this week, my complaint against Judge Gerald Cohn is before the Ethics Advisory Committee. All judges have to follow judicial ethics. And somehow, they don't understand that in the state of California because workers' comp says they don't know that to be true. And the Governor Brown's office said I wasn't credible, and they don't know that a judge can't make a medical diagnosis and change all the facts. Now, this must be some third world country I'm now living in. So this is important that we come together and we start speaking up with our own plan of action, and we start getting rid of going after some of these state senators in our own states that have been putting through these laws. I heard about my doctor, Dr. John Stahlberg of Santa Monica. I put in a complaint against him with the medical board, and they said because he didn't treat me, they couldn't do anything about it.
Mm.
He hadn't seen me. He didn't want to see me. He said under oath he hadn't seen me for 4 years. He gave me 100%. Then he had an unsubstantiated report that wasn't factual. The appeals court even said that. Then he wrote the $16,770 report, another report where he lied in it, where he hadn't seen me for 4 years, didn't want to see me. And because of what he said, by adopting the judge's medical diagnosis, it took away all my money. I do not get the proper medical care, which is a death sentence. My house is in foreclosure. I can't pay my bills. My credit is ruined. At times, I haven't had money for food. I was a worker. I am not a criminal, law-abiding citizen. It's enough already. And I'm one of millions of people here in California and across the country, and we must stand up because we're sick and tired of receiving a death sentence. And I wonder about these doctors. Are they real doctors? Doctors take the Hippocratic Oath, and it says, do no harm.
Wow.
They want to kill you. They want to deny your benefits. They are paying $16,770, $700 a page for a medical report. Please, what could I have possibly had? I mean, it is just disgusting. And they want to make you crazy. Everybody has to be crazy. Nobody can deal with you. You're the worst person. You're number one witch. That's what they want you to be. It's only in your head. You might need surgery, you might have fallen, like I was sprayed in my face with a fire extinguisher, the toxic chemicals, but everybody's condition comes down to the bottom line. It's in their head, and they're this terrible person that nobody can get along with.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That's a really amazing story, Rob. And, you know, being a teacher, people nowadays is probably one of the most dangerous jobs that you can get.
Right. Well, Charles Smith is dead.
Right.
And I have a death sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want you to go crawl up and die somewhere, too.
Well, I'm not going to die. I'm having a hard time breathing. I saw the doctor. He said it's going to get hot, and he said there'll probably be a fire. As soon as I left the doctor's office, we had the fire, which is harder for me to breathe.
Mm.
But all must come together, injured workers and workers, because this could happen to you.
Absolutely.
And you don't want this to happen. This is America.
You are absolutely correct. Well, listen, Rob, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I have to move on, but take your 90 seconds and let the world know what you want them to do.
Okay, I need to hear from more people. Rozzy Wow, ROZYWOW at AOL.com. Email me. RozzyWow at AOL.com. I don't have to use your name, but we need all of us coming together. Injured workers and workers. We need to stop this before they kill us all off, as they're making their billions of dollars off of our injuries. And I want to praise the Lord for Reverend Pinckney. Thank you, Jesus. You are a man of such compassion and caring, and I have gone through such a nightmare here. You're like a father to all of us. I can hear Randy's pain, and Mary, just such a blessing meeting her and Ralph and being able to pray for everyone.
Go ahead.
I ask that God opens doors, that you have the proper finances, that you have safety, that people will just join you of all colors, all of us coming together. They don't care what color we are. They just want to destroy our lives.
Hey, you are absolutely correct. And I just want to say this to everybody. Roz has a petition that she's sending out, and we need people to sign the petition. Those of you who are out there, we have to learn to fight together. We're not strong enough to fight as individuals, so we must fight together. Roz, where can they find your petition?
It's on iPetition.
Okay.
iPetition.
And it says,
iPetition.
Okay.
That's the one I found the easiest if somebody wants to do a petition. That was the easiest. And it's California Workers' Comp Judge Gerald Cohn to remove him.
All right. All right, Roz. Your time has just about ran out, but you stick with me. I'll let you get that out again, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right, all right. Those of you who are out there who want to be healthy, I have something special just for you. Longevity. I need you to call 1-888-788-4420. those of you who have diabetes, high blood pressure, heart trouble, heart clog, whatever you might have, overweight, I need you to call this call. We need healthy warriors. We have Dr. Glidden, and he will be there. He will be there to talk to you free of charge and answer any questions you might have. That's 1-888-788-4420. I will repeat this number later on in the show, but it's my TI time right now. I got to have my TIs to come forward, and I must pray for them. And when I get through praying, the next voice you would hear will be my good friend Ken Rose. Gracious Father, I come today, first of all, thanking you and praising your name, lifting you up, thanking you and only you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemy and anointing my head with oil and allowing my head, my cup, to run over. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for being so good to us, Lord. I thank you today, Lord. I thank you for all your marvelous blessings, all your past blessings, present blessings, future blessings. But most of all, I'd like to thank what you've already done. I'd like to thank you what you're about to do. Lord, I ask that you move right now, Lord. Show the world what you can do. Lord, you said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You said these words, Lord. Lord, I ask that you touch Lynn Stewart right now. I ask that you touch her mind right now. Touch her heart. Touch her soul. Touch her spirit. Touch that cancer, Lord. If she got it, I know you can heal it, Lord. I know that for a fact, Lord. I'm asking that you bring her home today, Lord, because you're a mighty God. You're a right now God. You're not a tomorrow God. You are a right now God. Lord, I ask that you touch my TIs right now. Give them strength, Lord. Touch the minds of the TIs. Touch their hearts, Lord. Touch their soul. Touch their spirit. Touch them like you never touched me before. Give them strength, Lord. Lord, I'm asking that you don't allow them to fight among themselves, because we need you, Lord. We can't do without you, Lord. Please, sir, you know everything. There's nothing too hard for my God. I know that for a fact, Lord. So I'm asking you to give them strength, Lord. Give them more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding of your word. Let them know that you're God. You're God all by yourself, and you will protect them. There's no power greater than my God. I'm claiming that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' precious name. Let us all say amen and amen and amen. My friend Ken, Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinky. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, and I'm doing great again. And I'm just so happy to hear your voice again. When I hear your voice, I get happy, Ken, because I know that you're on the front line fighting. Anybody who can fight like you, we call you John Brown in my neighborhood. So I want you to know that we love you, Ken, and the work that you have done is so tremendous. You just got back from you're out there in Colorado now. You've been to California. You go all over, and I appreciate you because you're one of the few who actually really get out here and do the things that need to be done. And it's important that we let people know that they're not going to stop us. They're not going to have us fighting with each other like they like. But we're going to continue this battle. But, Ken, I know you got something to say. I want you to take your time and say whatever you want. Go right ahead.
Okay. I appreciate them comments. It's very good. There's so much evil. I mean, we could all be fighting it. And if we don't get healthy, we're not going to be able to fight. And on the longevity, now I'm down 75 pounds. My diabetes is doing excellent right now. I'm very happy. For 20 years, I went to a medical doctor. And the last pill she gave me for my diabetes, she said, now this is going to raise your blood pressure, so I'm going to put this pill in. And also it's going to throw your cholesterol out of whack, so I got to throw this pill in. So for one pill, it's going to help me. She's got to give me two more to fix what she's messing up. I believe the medical doctor. I thought, well, she's trying. But, you know, after I got on the longevity product, it's unbelievable. And a lot of people tell me, well, you know, I can't afford it. Well, you can't afford not to do it. It's that good a product. It's very great. If we're all going to be fighting, and we're coming into a fight of our lives, and it ain't far down the road. So I'm going to say that Everybody on this line listening today, if you want to get healthy, this is the way to get healthy. It is a very good product. I know I'm not as good as Dr. Glidden. I wish he had came on or something happened, I'm sure. But anyway, I want to talk a little bit about Saturday. I was in Colorado, a very small town. I stopped at Denny's to eat breakfast. I seen four policemen sitting out the end by themselves. I didn't think nothing about it, so I'm sitting there, and they get up to go pay for their meal. One of them looks like he's King Kong. You know, he's walking with his shoulders back. I said, man, who in the hell is this guy? He walks by me, and on the back of his uniform it says Federal Police. So they walk out the door and ask the waitress, I said, what do y'all need Federal Police in this little town for? And the guy sitting in the booth behind me, he said, oh, they're probably from the Indian Reservation. She said, no, that's what I thought. But he said, no, I'm working with your local police. The guy said, well, that's very interesting. I said, no, it ain't very interesting. It's very scary. I said, if you live here, you should be down to your chief of police Monday with 100 of your people here in town asking, what is this federal officer doing here? I can tell him what they're doing there. They bring one in. They don't have to control the whole police force. They bring one in, and he analyzes all of them. So if we have civil unrest, martial law, he'll say, okay, you send these 10 into FEMA camps because they're going to be for the people. All the rest of these over here, they'll do whatever I tell them. And that's what our country's coming to.
And then you're absolutely right, Ken, too. I tell you, what they're doing, we should have them surrounded because there's more of us than them, but they got us surrounded. I mean, that just don't figure. How can you sit here and say this, that they got us surrounded? They got us surrounded because we got so many scary people. People afraid to open their mouth. You're right. There should be 100 people going down there telling them why, ask them why was they here.
Exactly. The sad part is them three police officers with him, they think he's their buddy. He's there analyzing them, and he'll send them right into a FEMA camp if they ain't doing what he thinks the government wants them to do when the time comes. That's how dumb Americans are. He'll send them right into the FEMA camps.
Absolutely, and that's what they're doing. And then they're going to have their ministers and pastors going to be portrayed right into the FEMA camp.
Oh, the 501Cs, if you belong to that church and he belongs to that clergy response team, you better not let that door hit you in the rear. You better be getting out of there because he's going to lead you into that prison camp too. So everybody better start waking up, and we better all come together and start fighting this. It's just like that whistleblower the other day on the World Bank. I heard her on Alex Jones' show. She's talking about they're stealing trillions of dollars. Well, they're stealing our money. And then yet, if you had somebody working you, Reverend Pinkney, and they stole $100,000 of the money you was fighting this crime with, and somebody came and told on them, boy, you'd pat that person on the back, you'd give them a bonus, and you know you could always trust them.
That's right.
When you go to our government, excuse me, when you go to our government and tell them somebody's stealing money, they go to the attorney, your God, they tell it, don't you defend this person. And the next thing she'll be a T.I., just like Lynn Stewart. When she stood up, she's a T.I. now. No doubt they put her in prison, and they can give you cancer by these radio frequencies. A lot of people don't understand that. They turn a certain frequency on you, and they can name their cancer. We had a microwave scientist. These TIs, we've done our research. We know what they can do. We know the weapons they're using on us. A lot of them are very smart, very well educated. A lot of them's done a lot of hard work. But yet, when we go in, you're mentally ill. We want to start shooting you up. Well, just like Ralph, he can't fight that battle by himself, but. So when he needs us to do something, we've got to help him out, and we've all got to help each other. It ain't my issue or your issue. It's all of our issues.
Hey,
you've got an issue.
That was beautifully said. You know, it's all of our issues. We have to learn to fight together. And that's what the message that we have to get through to the TIs, because they want to do things individually. If it's not their issue, they don't want to fight it. But that's why they're still in the same compromising position they was 5, 6 years ago. It's the same situation. It's going to continue to be that way until we stand up and start fighting together, Ken.
Exactly, because if somebody else has got an issue, that's our issue. If we got an issue, that should be their issue.
Absolutely, no question about it. And the sooner, but and also, like you said, we got to get healthy. And you talking about that longevity? You know, how I was, I really didn't want to be part of that until I decided to be part of it. And me and my wife, we both take it now. And I tell you, it's tremendous. I'm more than happy about the longevity and what it does. But those of you who are out there, you need to call 1-888-788-4420 and at least listen to what they say, because, like I said, I'm just like you. I didn't believe it would work, but I tell you, it has worked miracles on me. But, Ken, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on.
Reverend Pinkney, I got all my grandsons, my daughters, I got everybody in my family on this. That's how much I think of it.
Hey.
You know, I think I wouldn't be getting my grandsons, my daughters to buy it if I thought it didn't work, I'll tell you that. But I got two granddaughters that are heavy and two daughters that are heavy. And I want to see them start losing this weight. I lost 75 pounds on this product. And the money, you know, when you get on this product, you're not hungry. All these people, they go into these convenience stores, and they buy $10 worth of junk. When you take this product, you don't want that junk. You're not hungry for that junk. You'll save enough money by not going in these stores and buying food that you don't need to pay for this product. That's the thing about it. But the last thing is, I got a little hope for our country. The other day when they had that march about the GMO foods, did you know all over America, 25 million people all together marched against Monsanto on the GMO foods?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. You are 100% correct. That was tremendous to see that many people standing up for something. And I tell you, we can do something if we all work together. That was beautiful.
Okay, and I thank you, Reverend Ping, and your kind words, and I want to thank you for everything you do. You do more. I don't know how you do what you do, to be honest with you.
Hey, I do it with the help of the Lord. That's all I can do. I couldn't do nothing without him. And I tell you, and the thing is, I have to be healthy to do it. That's why I do what I do. Because God keep me healthy, and I'm moving on. But listen, Ken, I got to let you go. I got to bring in our good friend Robin. Then I'm bringing Dorothy. Then I'm going to go back to Dr. King. Let me do it like that. All right, Ken, I will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Reverend Payne, and
all your
listeners.
Ken, hang on there with me. We'll talk soon. Robin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
It's interesting that you're talking about wellness, because that's one of their biggest weapons against us. And I know they have made me sick today. Every time I'm supposed to go do something in church, or I'm supposed to do something to talk to you today.
Yes.
They make me sick.
Oh, I know.
And
they do.
And what they try to do is make you stay in the house, and keep you from doing anything. They use electromagnetic radiation on me to a great extent, and microwave radiation. And I know they're doing it to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
I wanted to mention to you something. The lady that was talking about a workman's comp, I can't remember her name.
Wow.
And she's on AOL. AOL is General Motors. They go through everything. AT&T is General Motors. Coca-Cola is General Motors. There's so many different things. They own a lot of hospitals. They deal with themselves, if that makes any sense to you. They have a lot of companies under different names, but it's actually them. And
actually
they
one
have
company.
Yes, and it's
well,
like
I understand exactly what you're saying with all these billion and trillionaires that's walking around here. You got the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and all the Waltons and all these other people. But, you know, here's what I want you to talk about. How long ago, how did you first find out that you was a target individual? Tell us how that started. That's what I want to know.
I had a lawsuit against General Motors. They were following us and doing things to our family, and I mentioned that to you already. But I didn't really know it was called targeted individuals until about a year ago. I thought I was the only one. They had kept me so shut off. I didn't realize this was going on all over the world. And I was hearing them with voice to scroll. Finally, I talked to some people from a church group in California, and she knew, and I kept telling people, Spirit really told me I was chipped. I don't know what your beliefs are, but Spirit really told me that I was chipped. Then I found out about other people, and then a year ago after I went to California, I looked on the computer, and there were all my symptoms. It just laid it all out. And then I saw where other people had thought that they were the only ones. And what they do is they try to make you think you're crazy, and then, which I knew I wasn't, but they try to make other people think you are. And then when they do things to you, like I told you the police came in the house and took me out and raped me.
Now, how many times did they rape you?
5 times.
Mm. Wow.
Then people don't believe you. I'm going to school to become a minister. And they make me sick so I can't do my sermons and things. But the people at church believe me.
Oh, that's good.
I've talked to I have found a forensic psychologist that works with chipped people. And he knows, you know, that he knows what I'm saying is true. But this really started back with a lawsuit. And, General, I would mention microbiocide to you. And it's like a biological weapon. And they're still using it. And this way it's cheaper for the companies because people die and they don't have to pay pensions. They get out of paying medical care. They're taking this home to their families. But I think that the chip was put in me in about 1987 when there was an isocyanate spill. And then I knew I was chipped. I just knew I was. They control dreams. They control. I'll call them mind movies. Is what I call them. You can't really dream. It's what they're putting in your head. I don't know if other people have had that experience, but I know of other people that have.
You know, there's a million TIs out there. They have pretty much, most of them have the same dream. The same thing you're saying, they have the same symptoms. Go right ahead.
Yeah, mind movies. Then they try to keep you in the house, too. and keep things going through your mind. Like I told you, I believe they killed my son and my mother. They go over and over how they killed my son and tell and laugh about it, trying to drive me crazy. I told you, and another person mentioned this, about they'll have called 911 from and make it look like your phone number. They did this to my mother, and they're trying to do it to me. And then they can make you become unconscious. They can take you to the hospital. They can falsify your test. And they have these in doctors, too. And they can get in any computer they want to. They falsify your results, treat you for something you don't need to be treated for, and kill you in that way. It's a way to do away with people and make it look like it's natural causes.
Well, you know they say there's too many people on the earth already, so they're using everything to get rid of people.
Yes, and I've been reading about the Bilderbergs.
Yes.
And about the corporations, and I read about HAARP. You're familiar with HAARP. Are you familiar with HAARP?
Yes, I am.
And about the FEMA.
Yes.
And I know that I can tell you that General Motors is helping to make these chips. And as we talked the other day, and I talked to you about the National Security Agency putting large orders for chips in and sending them to the Department of Defense, and then from there they send them to the Justice Department, and from there they go to local police agencies. And there's a lot going on with the corporations. The corporations practically own the town.
Yes, I can testify to that. We have Whirlpool Corporation right here, and they own this town. They have bought all the people and also sold all the people. So they buy and sell people here.
And there's a lot of drugs going on in this town with the city, with the corporations and the police. And that's why they tried to frame my son for drugs. Because when we started investigating on this lawsuit, a lot of things came to light. And one of the people that was investigating with me was really involved and knew a lot about what was going on, knew about the drug things that were going on within the city. And we'll have a policeman be mayor. And then when his term is up, he'll go back to being a detective, and another policeman will be mayor. It's tied up.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But you know one thing, Robin, we have to fight this. But we have to learn to fight together. See, one of the things that, and I know they don't want us to fight together because they'll put thoughts in your mind that you know and I know that's really not true, but they'll make you think they're true. That is the biggest issue I have with the TI community. They fight too much among themselves, but I know it's not them, you see. But how much of it can you take?
They do this. This is the way they try to break up groups. They did the same thing when we had our lawsuit going.
Mm-hmm.
They have the chips in you. Then they make you believe things, and they do the same things, breaking up families. They chip the families, then they put the thoughts on their head. They don't believe the person that is getting so sick and know they're chipped. And you destroy families this way. And all the time they're hurting the other members of the family too, and you can't convince them.
Absolutely.
They take away your memory. I know that they kidnapped my sons and brought them here from different locations.
Yeah.
They don't remember it. My sons don't remember it.
They had kidnapped you one time and your husband was sleeping and he didn't even know you was gone.
No,
oh,
he didn't.
They also, they raped you inside your own house, did they not?
They took me somewhere else for that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow, that's amazing. Your husband slept right through it.
Yes.
Man.
Yes. And I'm sure this is happening to other people, too.
Absolutely. We're dealing with some very powerful people.
They follow me all the time. I tried to walk in my addition the other day, and my second lap around, here they come. They follow me. There's something called, the FBI was involved in, called Coantel Pro, where targeted individuals, a lot of them are aware of this, where they bring people into your neighborhood or people you know and get pay them so much to spy on you and then lie to you to your other neighbors and have them turn against you.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Listen, you got about 90 seconds. You can say whatever you want, and I got to bring on my good friend Dorothy. Go right ahead, say whatever your heart desires, whatever come out your mouth, just say it, and we got to move on. Go ahead.
Well, I'm willing to help any way I can. If they could contact me through you somehow, because I doubt if they can get me through the computer. But any way I'm able to help, I would be glad to.
Hey, you know what? And we appreciate that because we're going to learn to work together. We're going to fight this monster. And we're going to defeat this monster.
And could you tell me what time it is there? Because I think I'm coming in late on your show.
No, it's 6:26 here, Eastern time.
Okay, we're the same time then. Okay,
we're on the same level right there. We're talking good. But listen, I got to move on, Robin, but I really appreciate you. And we're going to continue to communicate. And we're going to fight this monster together.
God bless you.
All right,
then,
Robin. Don't leave me. I'm going to let you have the last word. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, hi. How are you doing, Reverend Pinckney?
Great, Dorothy. Great, Dorothy. I just want to say to you that I have really, since I've been communicating with you, I have really gotten an education that I will never forget. And everything you seem to say somehow comes up in the newspapers.
Well,
Four incidents that you have mentioned that came up in the newspaper.
Well, let's go on and begin to educate some more, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay. So first off, let me address something for the great Reverend Short. And I too wish the other leaders that he mentioned would have called this very prominent family and given them their condolences. However, one also needs to say, if they didn't, why didn't they? Are they part of the problem or part of the solution? Because you can't be both. The next is, and I'm actually going to be taking some information from the book that I mentioned last week, which was The Illuminati Formula for Undetectable Total Mind Control. This is by Fritz Springmeier and an assistant, Cisco Wheeler. Actually, it's not an assistant. She's actually a person who escaped from these systems. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is several reasons. On YouTube, if you go out to YouTube and you look up May, M-A-E, Brussel, B-R-U-S-S-E-L, and the FBI report says Nazi Joseph Mengele, a U.S. citizen. It's 07-18-1980. Again, May Brussel, that's her name. FBI report says Nazi Joseph Mengele, a U.S. citizen. For your listeners, Joseph Mengele was a extraordinarily brilliant yet psychopathic Nazi doctor who did the most egregious, disgusting, inhumane war crime experiments on Jews and other captured people, to include a great many children. And please know I'm not trying to dismiss all the other experiments, but I want to simply share with the audience some of the experiments that this crazy person did that was then brought to this country, to the U.S. He would actually do rape experiments on children of all different ages, and he would continue to rape them repeatedly over and over again to see how it could affect the mind, which also included killing some of the victims, electroshocks, other things like that, in front of some of the children, the targeted children. This was under what's known as MKUltra. Now, please know, if you are a listener, rub your hands together, rub your feet together, get some water and listen, okay, because that'll help ground you. Dr. Mengele, instead of being held accountable for war crimes, was brought to America, and there are at least 15 other documentaries out on YouTube videos with May Brussels, one being the Nazi war criminals in America, in which they talk about the experiments that he did. And he would come to this country, him and his other Nazi scientists, that would then go into major universities and colleges. They were connected to the German pharmaceutical industry. They would then begin to teach the mental health providers. False Memory Syndrome Foundation was born out of that, with CIA doctors who did nothing but support the allowance of rape and brutalization of human beings. And out of that, they did a lot of experiments across this country, MKUltra, Mind Control Ultra, which ultimately then produced what they called monarch slaves. For instance, here's one of the people who is a monarch slave, Charles Manson, and this is being taken from this book I was telling you, Illuminati Formula for Undetectable Total Mind Control. The Charles Manson was the guy who killed Sharon Tate and a whole lot of people in California. And it was featured in the book Helter Skelter, but I want to read a couple excerpts from this book, which talks about, at some point, the strong points and weaknesses of the child will be identified, and then a decision will be made as to what occupation the Illuminati wants the program, the person, to become. If a young boy is aggressive and has sadistic tendencies, the Illuminati call it a warmonger and label its charts. This child will be a general. Then they proceed to program it to become a general. They talk about the same for nurses, teachers, and child's physicians must be programmed with the gentleness to their system. Other occupations, such as lawyers, can be allowed to be ruthless. Religious leaders make up the majority of the fathers of monarch survivors that have sought help. Most Illuminati victims have parents who are important religious leaders, many of them top clergymen in the established churches. Going on, it talks about PTSD, which is a debilitating effect of trauma and chronic nature of reaction to trauma. Now, most of this trauma is associated to sexual abuse, electroshock, and other types of horrors and traumas. The mind creates avoidance patterns to protect itself from thinking about the trauma. The U.S. military has prevented any serious counseling for their troops suffering from this, PTSD. PTSD in monarch victims is masked by MPD, which is multiple personality disorder, or DID, dissociative identity disorder, and the programming. Now, another aspect is to simply share with you the fact that, like many survivors, in talking about the TI community, when talking about, in 1954, Maslow published his hierarchy of needs. That was safety, food, shelter, water, which, when applied to monarchs and PTSD victims, means that they cannot progress in therapy until their survival and safety needs are met. Their safety and survival needs are met. Programmers, abusers know what it is important to keep the slave away from safety. Now, for those that are TIs, think about all that you have been through. And yet, we have a great deal of information, and I know I typically do research and I provide that to you. I provide it to you to understand that there is a great many people in America who are programmed under multiple levels of not being awake. So when we're talking about these issues, it's time that we bring in big names. Now, Reverend Pinckney, I know that you have a very dear friend in the professional Actors Guild, and that is Ed Asner. I'm hoping that maybe he might be able to put out a good shout-out to Stuart is his name. He was the commanding officer of the television show Star Trek The Next Generation, the gentleman who played Captain Picard. And the reason I'm saying that is I recently saw, in fact today, I recently saw a show or a presentation he made, and he was talking about how he is standing up against the abuse of women and children. Now, please know that African Americans, Native Americans, women and children have been the original TIs in this country. Anybody who didn't fit in have always been the original TIs, and they've been brutalized for decades. Now, please know I'm a white woman, so I understand this from the perspective of how bad it has been for so many others. But what also is happening is we need to begin reaching out, because Mr. Stewart, Captain Picard, went on to say that he witnessed his father, who had come back from the French wars, in which he had post-traumatic stress syndrome known once as shell shock. He would brutalize his wife, and he said in his speech, never, never, never does that ever make any sense to allow for any type of crime to happen. He's calling for men to be real men and stand up against this, because these beatings and abuses, as well as this programmed allowance that has been going on under the auspices of national security, has been going on, and they've said that it was for the best of the nation. I can tell you, as a survivor of this and as a veteran, I witnessed what people were talking about in this show about what's happening in the VAs. The doctor who was talking about her husband. In the 90s, there were multiple reports coming out as an advocate, as I was speaking up, where foreigners and even Americans who could not pass their medical exam tests were able to get jobs in the VA. I happened to call it Dr. Mengele's Clinic. And ladies and gentlemen, your men and women in the military, last week there were 22 a day that were committing suicide. Now, as of yesterday, the new numbers are 35 men and women are committing suicide a day in this country. They have fought for you. They have stood up for you. If you know a veteran, even if you are a TI, if you know a veteran or of their families, please talk to them about not going to the VA. Talk to them about not taking the drugs from the VA. Now, please know, not all VAs are bad, but what I've seen over the years, and in this book, again, the Illuminati formula for undetectable total mind control, it's stated in this book that the VA is using mind control, neuro-linguistic programming, and the young lady from Anderson was talking about the brain dreams. That's called synthetic telepathy. You can look this all up on YouTube, and it's all out there talking about this stuff. This stuff is happening. Now, but we need to come together, and we need to get to the men and women who know how to organize, who know how to fight, who have been actually trained in being brilliant tacticians and strategy people on how to pull people together from all of our country. I do not think for a moment that we should be having 35 a day that are killing themselves, which to me, sadly, is why they were having them go to 3, 4, 5 deployments. And yet, the possibility I'm now hearing is the possibility that they're looking to open the draft for everybody in this country. That means not only are you already traumatized by what you've been through in your lives, both national security, the abuses, child rapes that are off the charts, and please know when people say about rape and they want to turn a blind eye, rape, on an unpublished report that I read in 2009 from Dr. Amy Street out of the Boston VA, said that rape, that single dastardly criminal act, which the mental health professionals, and I say that in quasi-quotes, are saying that that's a mental illness. That is emotional damage, but that crime alone causes 5 times the level of post-traumatic stress than any other crime or abuse. Combat comes in at number 4. So please know, we must even reach out to the men and women. And again, for anybody who wants to get back into their body, begin writing, writing descriptively. Go backwards and writing. I know it seems very simplistic, but if you understand the practices of Jesus Christ, every answer was very simple. It begins with one step. And the one step I can share with you that I know, and I'm not advising you, I am sharing with you my own personal journey, that writing and going backwards, writing descriptively about what your life has been like, you know, what time of year it was, getting into your critical thinking, getting into your logic, your those are the things that have been shattered by all the things you've been through. Write down keys, codes, triggers, tones, and hand signals. Once again, keys, codes, triggers, tones, and hand signals. These are 5 different areas that you have been programmed, both through the TV that you have watched as a child, the radio, the music. All those things have brought us to this point in where we are at. And for us to turn the corner, we must be mindful. We must be in our bodies. We must be consistent and understanding, nonviolent, but also willing to help each other get more fully in our own minds. Only when we know our minds from their games can we pull this fully together, and they know it. That will make us stronger. That will bring us together, and that will make us more invincible than even technology, because where God is, they aren't.
That's
and
right.
That's what they're depending on.
Absolutely. Dorothy, listen, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want, then I got to move on. You did a tremendous job. I really appreciate you.
Sir, I'm going to give the rest of my time to your next speaker.
All right. Thank you so much, Dorothy.
You're welcome.
All right. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney, and let me apologize to the audience that I got a new iPhone yesterday, and I dropped it, and I've been trying to find it for an hour and a half. I found it, and I'm on the program. I am so sorry, but I did hear the last speaker, and I can just add what she said was Lynn Stewart made a statement years ago about what the problem was. Why can't we change the government? Because as Lynn Stewart says, there's so many of us who want to be the man rather than beat the man.
Mm.
And as I was listening to your last speaker, yes, we have to get our minds straight. We support, as we have been talking and as you have been leading us in this issue of supporting people who support you and attacking people who attack you and with the Whirlpool struggle. And I imagine you've gone over that today, and I don't want to repeat what people have already heard. But we do have to know our own minds. We have to sacrifice the things that we falsely believe, and I say this in every program, there are none more hopelessly lost than those who falsely believe they are free. And I would add, hopelessly lost for those who falsely believe that there is justice. Justice is there if you can bring justice. You have to, as Lynn Stewart says, do justice. And we can do justice every day by righting the wrongs that we come in contact with daily. And we must refuse to allow evil to succeed. And the way that evil succeeds is for those who claim goodness do nothing. And your program opposes that. You are teaching us to boycott NAACP because they have boycotted us. Boycott Whirlpool because they have boycotted us. Boycott the government because they have boycotted us. And if we can get people to understand, act in a conscious, moral manner, and defend yourself without hurting other people, that is the key. So I wish I had found this, I got a thin thing. And one of the things, my other cell phone that I traveled around with was, if you'll excuse the expression, the Army rough issue.
Mm.
Big, thick, bulky thing. Now I have this little thin thing, and it slid down between my car seat, and it was making me crazy. And I found it. And I'm sorry I missed the program. Lynn is doing well mentally. The cancer is still killing her. But if by the end of the week she's not out, I'm going to start a Recall Obama program. We have to recall Obama. I am sorry. He has done so much wrong. And Lynn has passed all of the so-called difficult barriers within the prison system. The warden at Fort Worth said she qualifies. The warden, Samuelson, on the level of the federal level says, you know, like in Washington, she qualifies. But now they have to check with Obama. And I'm sorry to say, let me hope that by tomorrow we hear news where Lynn can come home and begin to fight the struggle to stay alive with cancer, to fight what other people have successfully fought. But in jail, not only Lynn, but no one in jail has a chance against disease, because there's no such thing. It's an oxymoron. Prison health care does not exist. And I think of all of the wonderful people who fought for us, who gave up their lives for us, not in the form of Jesus Christ, but those who said, I'm going to struggle for your rights, your children's rights, your grandchildren's rights. They've been in lockdown. They've been in jail for 30 years. Russell Maroon Schultz, Mamia Abu-Jamal, Sekou Odinga, and the list goes on. Mutulu Shakur. And if you look up these names of these wonderful people who did everything to support us, are languishing in jail. Lynn Stewart is languishing in jail. We know what she did. She worked on our behalf. And we must continue the phone calls. And the phone calls are listed at lynnstewart.org. Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T.org. And you will see Samuelson, Obama, Holder. Those names are there, and the numbers to call. We must keep up the pressure. Ramsey Clark, the ex-Attorney General of the United States, is in Washington now. He'll be in the offices in the morning of Obama. And I tell you one thing, your listeners, when I asked Ramsey, did they give him a tour of the White House? And he says, no, I gave them a tour of the White House. And he told me that I told them LBJ was sitting there, and I was sitting here when he told me, call up the National Guard. It's beyond time. We're going to integrate the schools of the South. And I said to myself, if that didn't turn these people around, this historic moment where they said there's no separate but equal, we're going to bring black people into the system that LBJ had done. Fannie Lou Hamer, Ramsey Clark was the Attorney General that said no more and move these people aside. You know, no more oppression, no more segregated schools. And he moved these people aside and made it possible for Obama and Holder to be there. And I said, he's got to tell that story with them sitting in the chair, and I am confident that he will. And I tell you this, if you can hear that story, and I'm just repeating what I heard, and there are tears in my eyes, you know, that the people were terrorized under this system. And with the National Guard, he began the breakdown of that system. And if Obama and Holder can't hear that, then we must recall them. I hear it. Reverend Pinckney hears it. Those of us out here in computer land hear it. That's why we're listening to this program. We want to know what to do. Continue to call in. Continue those phone calls. Continue the support of Ramsey Clark, who's giving us a new freedom. And as Lynn Stewart said, you don't have any rights that you're not willing to use or defend. And I thank you, Reverend Pinckney, forgive me for, you know, like a stumbling into this modern age of social media, mass communication. I guess, you know, old dogs can learn new tricks. I'm learning, but I'm slow. So I can't be mad at these young people, you know, who they do the computers. They do this so easy. They know how to handle it. They put it away. They put it in their pocket. I have, you know, like close to two masters, and I'm fumbling. And so I'm learning. These kids can learn. We don't need privatization. We don't need to close schools. It's just happening in Chicago. We must fight, and Reverend Pinckney is going to lead the fight. And I'm with you, Reverend, and I look forward to seeing you this coming week in New York when you go to the Left Forum and speak on issues only you can do.
Absolutely, Rap. I'm looking forward to seeing you. I know how wonderful it is. I want you to know that I did call the all three, Obama
well,
too. And
thank
also,
you.
Like you said, my words were, don't make me have to impeach you.
Right.
Don't let me have to recall you. Don't make me have to do it. And, you know, we got a chance to talk to the receptionist, and I say that I don't want to do it, but don't make me. Those are my last remarks. And they gave me plenty of respect. I told them, you know, my name is Reverend Edward Pinckney. All three, especially at the prison. I think the prison called Samuel. I thought that was really, really very receptive. They was tremendous, matter of fact. And I felt real good about them. And I did leave my phone number for them. I actually got a chance to talk to somebody. And I told, you know, I gave them my phone number. And I told them to please call me back because I said, this is urgent. You see, this is urgent. This is a matter of life and death. And those are my exact words that I told them. But I did make the calls. I made sure that I did. Got there, started early, getting people rolling, getting people calling, and because I know how important this is.
Thank you so much. And as I told Lynn, if she could hear you pray, and I want her to be out here to hear you pray, to listen to your words.
I promise you this, when she get out, me and my wife both will come there personally and pray. And that
wonderful.
I will be there. That's a promise, not a say-so.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Listen, I got to let you go. I got to bring Dr. King back in because she was having trouble getting in. She on that site and that Skype, and then we're having a few issues with it, but we got to bring in Raph. Don't leave me. And all right, now, Dr. King, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for bringing me back. I really appreciate it, and I've learned
so
much.
You only got about 4 minutes, and I want you to just run with it because I don't know when I'm going to lose you.
Thank you. I'll be very fast. I just want to say also this thing about mind control and LSD and what the VA is doing. I think that's exactly what Michael Pfeiffer is doing, but he's not the only one. He seems to be in a group of people that are experimenting on children, and my daughter is one of them. So before we go any further, I just want to ask people to please support Ariana Leilani's right to live. Right now, she's getting no medicine. She's isolated. She's pretty much a sex slave in Washington, D.C. There's no one there to help her, and I'm asking you to please go to the website, which is www.ariana-leilani.org. Or you can go into any search engine and put in Ariana Leilani. There you'll find an entire website put together by her coalition, her supporters, including Facebook, and also a petition asking President Obama. Now it's become an international incident. She has not been giving the proper medication or any medication for 3 years, and she will die from a blood and bone marrow disease because she has no immune system. So I'm asking all of you, please, who believe in children's lives, who believe in justice, to please, please show President Obama and Chancellor Merkel that Ariana Leilani's life does matter, and she does not need to die in a one-bedroom apartment, being drugged, being abused, being made some kind of mind control by sexual abuse. And by the way, she does have post-traumatic stress disorder. It was diagnosed in 2008, and to this day, she has not had any therapy. So that's all I want to say. And besides that, the powers that be in Washington, D.C., and also in the U.S. government, they know very well this case. The German government has gone to the State Department and asked for help. Our former Secretary Clinton signed off on a document that went back to the United Nations when they actually said that the U.S. was violating Ari Leilani's human rights, especially when it came to child prostitution and child pornography from the age of five. And unfortunately, it was answered by a person.
Uh-oh, sorry, I look like I lost you again. But listen, this is what we're going to do. Don't forget, we kicked off our boycott of all Whirlpool products June 1st, which was Saturday. KitchenAid, Maytag, anything that has to do with Whirlpool. This is going to be an international boycott of all Whirlpool products. Also, we're also boycotting the NAACP. Just say no to the NAACP. We are sick and tired of them pimping in our community. Also, on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, we will be protesting here in the city of Benton Harbor. We are going after the EM and the governor, Governor Snyder, for putting a dictator over the people. We have decided that Tuesday morning we have a press conference at 10:30, and we're going to tell them that we're going to stop this hostile takeover of the city of Benton Harbor. Those of you who are in the community who want to come out, please do not hesitate to come. We need your support. This is a major deal. I'm not saying it's a big deal. It's major. It's bigger than anything that you could think of. Because we have to stop this community. We have to stop them from doing what they're doing, taking over Whirlpool. They already took over the NAACP here, and they also took over the school system. They took over the government. We have nothing. But we're going to fight back. Last time we fought, we won. And we're going to continue to fight back. But we need your help. We need people out there to come forward. Also, you have to be healthy to fight. I want you to call Longevity at 1-888-788-4420. Let me repeat that. 1-888-788-4420. That's Longevity. Those of you who have high blood pressure, who may have heart failure, who may have diabetes, or anything that might be wrong, I tell you, I am convinced that this stuff actually works. And I want you to know this because it's important. But on that note, I got to bring in my good buddy, Dr. Short. Dr. Short, are you there? Dr. Short is not there. So let me go to my good friend, Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and what a great deal we've learned today from your show. You have the most interesting guests that bring us fresh information Sunday after Sunday. And mostly it's things that we would not have heard if not for your show. And I want to thank you and thank all the guests and the audience for listening and paying attention. And like my good friend says, that this is the kind of radio show that you shouldn't come to without a pencil and paper so that you can write down the information and know which petitions to sign and know what to do to help others and as we help ourselves, because we're all one. We are one. You know, we talk about races, but actually, if you see a four-legged creature with a tail, you know, wagging in your house, you just say dog. It wouldn't matter if it was a black dog or a white dog or a red dog. They're all just dogs. But if you see a cat saying meow, you know, they're not divided into groups. It's just the cat. But human beings, which are all in one race, that's the human race, they have these artificial divisions based on race. And the thing is that we have interchangeable organs, interchangeable blood, and we are all made in the image of God, and he loves us all, and he would love for us to love each other. And
right.
This
Mary,
is
we don't have any more time, but I would like for you to say, just let people know, if they wanted to donate to Banco, well, I can say it. Mary, those of you out there who want to donate to Banco, you can mail a check to 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan. You can send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O. We are a 501c3. It's tax deductible. And you can mail it to 1940 Union Avenue in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Those of you who are out there who want to help us fight, because we need resources in order to fight and continue this fight. We don't accept money from corporations. We don't want anything from them, but we want the people to join the fight. So those of you who are out there who want to send check, money order, whatever you want to send, you can send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O. We are 501c3, address 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And on that note, Mary, we have just ran out of time. We don't have any more time,
people.
And I will see you all next week, same time, same station. And I tell you, and Dr. King, I want you to know that we'll get you back on next week, because I think you got something that you want to say, and we're going to hear it. On that note, good night, all.